You're listening to KRFC 88.9 FM Fort Collins. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program spotlighting the issues that affect our communities by providing a closer look at the agencies and nonprofit organizations that serve the public. I'm Julie Eslick, Communications Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. On this edition of Community at Work, I talk with David Root, Executive Director of Homeward Alliance, and Pam Brewer, Development Director at Homeward Alliance, formerly Homeless Gear, which operates a range of programs for those experiencing homelessness and works towards homelessness prevention. Welcome, David and Pam. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So first I want to start with when and why did Homeless Gear change its name to Homeward Alliance? I'd heard that that happened, but kind of give our listeners some background on that.
Yeah, so we announced the name change at our annual fundraiser, which coincided with our 10-year anniversary. So that was in June of 2018. To the why part of your question, it was really a long time coming, I think, for us. When we were first founded, the name Homeless Gear was much more reflective, representative of the work that we did, because really we just had one program that was collecting and distributing gear. But as we grew and evolved and adapted our programs over the years, it really came to represent a very small part of what we did, and also not the sort of aspirational part of what we do. We help people survive, but we also help people move forward and thrive. And so we wanted a name that both reflected the scope of our work, but also one that reflected our aspiration to help everyone we serve escape homelessness.
And so has the change been a positive one in helping fulfill your mission, both the aspirational and on the ground?
I think the change really was a reflection more of what we'd already been doing. But insofar as helping us fulfill our mission, I do think the clearer that we can be in articulating our mission to the community, the more likely we are to gain support from the community. And so what we've noticed since we've changed the name is just a lot more understanding from the community that the name Homeward Alliance represents more than just one or two or three programs, that it represents this continuum of services that we operate in the community.
Great. And let's take a look at some of the scope of the problem of homelessness and getting people into permanent housing, all that goes with that. How large is the homeless population in Fort Collins, would you say?
So it's a little bit of a tricky question to answer, because it partly depends on how you measure it. So I'll give you as simple an answer as I can. We really have two competing definitions of homelessness. One definition of homelessness, which is called literal homelessness, refers to people who sleep outside in the shelters or in their cars. The other is the McKinney-Vento definition of homelessness, which the federal government uses to define how children and families experience homelessness. And that includes people who are doubled up with family and friends, sleeping in motels, kind of bouncing from place to place. So when we go by the literal homeless definition, the two real indicators we have in our community right now are our annual point in time count, which is something mandated by the federal government. And each year we count anywhere between 300 and 350 people on a given night in January who are experiencing literal homelessness. That's probably an undercount of the population. It's probably not representative of the scope of the problem, because it's a count one night on a very cold night when people are likely to be sheltered or hiding. Another measure we have is we collect data through a program called Housing First Initiative, where we try to capture everyone who's been homeless for 6 months or longer in Fort Collins. We estimate right now that there are about 375 people who meet that definition. And then the last number I'll give you is when it comes to the McKinney-Vento definition, the numbers start to get a lot bigger. Each year, the Poudre School District is identifying about 1,000 children who experience homelessness by that definition. So if you use the broadest definition, our best guess is we're looking at anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 people experiencing some form of homelessness over the course of the year in Fort Collins.
And does Homeward Alliance look mostly at the numbers in Fort Collins, or is there a way to measure in Larimer County in general, or would that be harder to extrapolate or how?
Well, they have similar data in Loveland. So the Thompson School District is identifying around 400 or 500 children each year who are homeless. And so that number can be combined with Poudre School District to give you a sense of the county number. Yeah. The Murphy Center, which is the, I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but that's the hub of services for people who are homeless or at risk in Larimer County. That serves folks from Fort Collins and Loveland. Mm-hmm. And we're serving about 3,000 unduplicated people each year. Roughly 10% of those folks are coming from Loveland. Mm-hmm. So we think there's, you know, 250 to 300 people coming up from Loveland to the Murphy Center accessing services. So, yeah, when you expand it countywide, it is a much broader problem. There's more complexities when you get into rural areas, right. and it also gets harder to define when you move into those areas.
Into places that aren't cities or yep. large towns, yeah. As you said, Homeward Alliance manages, if I'm understanding this right, manages the Sister Mary Alice Murphy Center for Hope, also known as the Murphy Center, which serves as a resource center for people who are homeless or in jeopardy of losing their housing. And we'll discuss kind of some of the oversight structure in a moment. But I read that the Murphy Center, when it opened, was estimating to serve about 30 or 40 guests a day, and now it serves about 160 individuals a day and, as you were saying, about 40,000 guests annually. So that's a pretty big number, a pretty big difference there.
Yes. I think it was certainly – They certainly weren't sure how many they would serve. 30 mm-hmm. to 40 was obviously a low number, and it was a low number right from the start. It wasn't like they opened the door and it was 30 or 40 for a couple of years and then exploded. This has been actually a pretty consistent number for the last 5 to 7 years at the Murphy mm-hmm. Center. And so, you know, that has practical implications that certain services, things like showers and lockers and laundry, are pretty limited. You know, we have two washing machines, two dryers. We have one male shower, one female shower. You know, every morning we've got 125 people sort of spread throughout a building that's not meant for a lot more than that. Yeah. And so it's a challenge. But I would also say that we were just looking at the numbers from this summer, and we actually saw a 15% decline in the number of people we served from July through October. We saw a higher number of total guest visits, but a smaller number of unduplicated individuals, meaning we had a smaller number of people access services more frequently. We view that as a positive trend. There are lots of things that could be behind it. But we believe that we are seeing a lot of folks escape homelessness. We think that the summer traffic was significantly less than last year. And we think the folks who we are working with are more actively engaged in services on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, great. So can you explain some of the collaborative funding and the management structure of the Murphy Center and kind of how all that works? Because I know there's several agencies there. And
yes. The Murphy Center has evolved since it opened in 2009. It's gone through a few different management iterations, but I would say just broadly speaking, that one of the things that happens when you manage the Murphy Center is you are uniquely in tune to the gaps that exist in the community of services for people experiencing homelessness. You know, you're sort of overseeing, facilitating services among all of these agencies that serve this population, and you're acting as sort of the filter. Filter might be the wrong word, but basically the Murphy Center does intakes and makes referrals and is sort of where people go to get processed and referred. And so I think what happened over the years with the Murphy Center is different managers would see different gaps and then try to fill them. And they'd go out and get a grant and try to fill that particular gap. And then that grant would run out, but the need wouldn't go away and the position would still be just as necessary as before. So when we came in to start managing the Murphy Center, we did it with this broad collaborative of partners. In the beginning, the big players were on the agency side, Homeless Gear at the time, Neighbor to Neighbor, Summit Stone, and Catholic Charities. Bohemian Foundation was a big partner at the table, United Way of Larimer County, Community Foundation of Northern Colorado. And this group got together and basically said, how can we create a Murphy Center model that's going to be sustainable, sort of cost appropriate relative to the value it's providing in the community, just sustainable over the long haul. And the big decision we made at that time was that the primary and really unique function of the Murphy Center is that it doesn't necessarily provide a ton of services. It really facilitates all of these different providers to come in and provide services under one roof. And so the less the Murphy Center can get involved in the actual service provision and the more it can stay focused on that core function of facilitating service provision and collaboration, the better. And so that allowed us to really trim the budget of the Murphy Center and put us in a position that's going to be more manageable over time. But then it also allowed us as a broader agency beyond the Murphy Center, you know, as Homeward Alliance, to start to try to fill some of those gaps programmatically outside of the sort of scope of the Murphy Center. So we're in a little bit of a unique position where if you think of the Murphy Center as the highway that all these agencies drive their cars on, we're sort of one of the agencies that drives cars on the highway, but we're also managing the highway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, I think. So who are, do we want to talk about some of the partners, the agencies that are operating under the roof of the Murphy Center?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually I should just note, because you had asked it in your last question, that some of our major funding partners, the City of Fort Collins, the City of Loveland, Bohemian Foundation, United Way of Larimer County, we have a lot of larger anonymous donors and private foundations that support the effort. So it's really a broad base of support. Bohemian Foundation actually has a subsidiary called Murphy Center LLC that owns the building and contributes substantially to the upkeep of the building and the ongoing costs associated with it. So we're very fortunate to have developed some really great partnerships. We also have a four-agency partner council comprised of Homeward Alliance, Catholic Charities, Summit Stone, and Neighbor to Neighbor that meets at least quarterly and is broadly responsible for overseeing the long-term vision of the Murphy Center, making sure that it's in alignment with broader community goals, and particularly that it's in alignment with Homeward 2020's goal to make homelessness rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. And so that's a key part of the Murphy Center operations. Those agencies also all provide services at the building. So Summit Stone is there every day with at least three, sometimes four mental health workers providing therapy and crisis intervention. Neighbor to Neighbor has two housing case managers who meet regularly with folks to help with rent assistance and housing search assistance. Catholic Charities provides senior assistance on site. We have VOA and VA working with vets. Homeward Alliance has several programs on site, including the Hand Up Employment Program, our reentry program for people on parole, One Village, One Family for a housing program for families. And there are tons of agencies that operate, you know, once a month, once a week, once a quarter, who contribute from afar. I would encourage anybody who's really interested to check out the Murphy Center's website and see a full list of the services, because it's really there's no way I'm going to remember all 20 agencies and all 40 services right here, but there's an amazing array of services and service providers that work together, truly together, collaboratively under one roof to with the ultimate goal of helping people escape homelessness.
And the website is murphycenter.org. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, great. Now, do people have to be experiencing homelessness? Do they have to be low income? Do they have to meet any income levels to receive help from Homeward Alliance in particular?
Our programs are all designed to serve people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. That's not an easy thing for people to prove, because most of the people we're serving have no income, a lot of times have no form of identification, and more often than not don't have a home at all. So it's not something that we can necessarily offer proof of, but the services we're providing, just in a general sense, are intended for those folks, and really wouldn't be useful, I think, to folks who don't fit those categories.
Sure, and probably this similarly for the Murphy Center, that a lot of the folks that are coming in are kind of at that place in their life. This isn't necessarily an agency that's going to help somebody who is just low income but has their own home or is in stable housing and maybe just has some other issues that they need to address. There are other agencies that might address that better.
For the most part, yeah, I would say that would be the case. I would encourage folks if they're experiencing any sort of housing instability, the Murphy Center is going to be the first place I refer them.
Okay. You know, there are people who maybe have never had to worry about having a stable place to call home, or that might have the wrong impression about how someone ends up sleeping on the street in Old Town or in other places, or that they don't have a permanent residence, you know, maybe a child and family that have to move from family to family members or at a hotel. What are some of the ways people in northern Colorado might end up in this type of crisis?
There are a lot of reasons, and that's actually one of the things that makes this such a complex issue, mm-hmm. is that it's not like we can just say, oh, it's unemployment, that's sure. the problem, or it's mm-hmm. just housing prices, that's the problem. Homelessness is complex, and it's a cross section of a lot of different represents the cross section of a lot of different issues that affect our country, our state, our city. Lack of affordable housing is certainly the most common reason that folks cite for experiencing homelessness. Unemployment, underemployment is a big one. Some of our surveys have suggested that more than half of the people we serve who are homeless are working, have some sort of income, but it's not enough to get work. Mental health issues, of course, substance use issues, domestic violence is a very big one among the women we serve. Physical disabilities, just health issues, sometimes health expenses that right. put people into bankruptcy, any sort of family conflict. And, you know, people come in with reasons that we haven't seen sure. yet all of the time. I mean, everybody's situation is different. And I would also say that for most people, it's very rarely just one thing. Right. So it's, you know, the lack of affordable housing combined with a mental health issue that's been unaddressed for years, you know, or it's somebody who had a physical disability and had, you know, issues with a caretaker, lost money and now, you know, is without a home. So there are just all sorts of things. Every person's situation is complex and requires a customized solution.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins, and this is Community at Work. I'm your host, Julie Eslick, Communication Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. Tonight we're talking with David Root and Pam Brewer of Homeward Alliance, which works to help those experiencing homelessness to survive, move forward, and thrive. Before the break, we were talking about how families or individuals in our area may lose their homes and need help to get back into a stable living situation. We talked a little bit about some of the rising rents in Fort Collins, and I just wanted to mention a little bit for our listeners. The average rent for an apartment in the Troy City is $1,477, while a one-bedroom, average size 659 square feet, will cost you around $1,200, and that was according to Rent Cafe Market Trends. Do you see a correlation between high rents and homelessness?
Yes, I do. That was an easy one. So I'll answer this from two perspectives. One is first, we looked recently at people who are participants in our Housing First Initiative program. So this is a program that specifically serves people who have been homeless for at least 6 months in Fort Collins. So these are our sort of resident homeless population who, you know, we see every day, potentially at the Murphy Center, and many cases they've been homeless for years. So we did a survey of 406 HFI participants, Housing First Initiative participants, over the course of a year. Some of them escaped homelessness over that time, so that's why that doesn't work with that 375 number I gave earlier that's current. But of the 406 we surveyed, 240 of them had no income at all. 128 had between $1 and $999 per month, and that is the typical range that we see folks collect when they collect Social Security income from the government. 34 had between $1,000 and $1,999, and 4 had $2,000 or more. So with the numbers you just gave me, I mean, typically we think in order to really have a home that you afford, you want your gross income to be at least three times what you're paying in rent. In order for that to be the case, you would need to have income far in mm-hmm. excess of what all but four of the 406 people on our HFI list were making there. So even if you reduce that to double the income, right. you still mm-hmm. only have four people of yeah. 406 who could theoretically afford rent at market rate. So And what I want to point out about that population is within that same group, 63% self-identify as having some kind of disability. So this is a population of people who in many cases cannot work. So this isn't a population where we can just say, well, you know, let's help them find a job.
Right.
So then if you extend that to say, well, what about people who have jobs? You know, why are there so many people experiencing homelessness who have jobs but can't find a house? We have helped secure almost 200 jobs for people through our Hand Up program this year. But the average wage in the Hand Up program is around $12.50 an hour. We are just not seeing our folks get into living wage jobs. And again, double that rent would be $13 or $14 an hour, and triple that rent would be $20 or $21 an hour. It's just awfully rare that we're able to place folks we're serving unless they have some sort of trade certification or we're able to help them with that. It is such a barrier it's the biggest barrier when it comes to getting housed.
Let's turn to the health impacts of being homeless. Studies have shown that there's some pretty significant health issues associated with not having stable housing, increased stress over where you will sleep, and if it will be safe, can lead to anxiety, depression, mental health issues, high blood pressure, and not surprisingly, lack of adequate sleep and rest. So it seems like your overall health suffers because so much energy goes into just finding, you know, permanent home or where you're going to sleep for that night. Have you seen firsthand how health and housing are related, David?
We've seen it firsthand. We see it firsthand every day. Since the Murphy Center was founded in 2009, one of the grim tasks of the entities that have operated it has been maintaining a list of people who've passed away, and that list is dozens and dozens of people, most of whom passed away at a very young age. I believe when we looked at it most recently, the median age was in the 40s. We've had several folks pass away this year for various reasons. Some folks have died from exposure, others because of substance use issues, others because of suicide, others because of chronic health conditions. And we see these things exacerbated because of the lack of access to housing, to shelter, to safety on a day-to-day basis. There was a study that actually just, I think, a couple months ago came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association where they looked at a cohort of, it was 445 unsheltered individuals in Boston. They looked at them over a 10-year period and compared mortality rates among those unsheltered individuals to the population of people who were homeless but staying in shelters, and then the population just at large who were not homeless. During the 10-year period, 134, about 30% of the individuals in the study died, median age of 53 at death. Mortality rate was about 10 times higher than the general population, and it was actually 3 times higher even than people who are homeless but sheltered. Oftentimes, the most vulnerable people we work with, the people who consume the most community resources, who are in and out of the emergency rooms, the jails, the hospitals, those are often the very folks who are sleeping outside rather than shelters. And so for them and for everyone, this really is life or death every single day. And I've heard folks say this at conferences, so I won't pretend like this is something I just came up with. But it really is true that when someone is experiencing homelessness, if that person has a chronic health condition, the best prescription a doctor could write is a house.
Right. Yeah. And as you were saying with the study happening in Boston, I mean, I think stable housing is a real need everywhere in our country. And so how do you get your message out about those that are in need in Larimer County?
So we get our message out through a variety of ways. For folks who are actually in need of services, we try to make our services as accessible as possible. So folks reach us online, they reach us by phone, they reach us in person. I would say that word of mouth is the most common referral for us. But we also do street outreach shifts with staff members and volunteers to try to get the word out. We rely on agency partners heavily. And then when it comes to the broader community, it's really a snowball effect, I think. You know, we started with a really small base of supporters, and that base of supporters has grown over time. We've reached out to new people, and the people we've reached out to have mm-hmm. helped us reach out to new people. And over time, it's become this network, this alliance, which is part of why we chose the name we chose, this alliance of thousands, literally thousands of volunteers who contribute, I think on an annual basis, contribute more hours than our staff does.
And I understand that your hours have been extended at the Murphy Center.
Yes. So we are enormously grateful to the City of Fort Collins, which is funding an expansion of the Murphy Center hours during the winter months for 2019 and 2020 through its budget. So this proposal will immediately, effective December 3rd, allow the Murphy Center to remain open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., as opposed to previous hours, which were 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we are filling a crisis gap in the community, which is that during the winter months, people don't have anywhere to go, typically from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. During the week. But we're also trying to continue to operate the Murphy Center as a resource center, not just a place where people go to be warm, but a place where people go to access services. So we're working really hard to make sure that as many services as possible are available in the evening. We have a case manager who's going to be working full time. And we're also hoping we'll reach a population maybe that we can't now who's unable to access the Murphy Center during working hours. So we're really excited about the possibilities and really grateful to the city and actually, you know, everyone who advocated for this behind the scenes, because it did take a lot of work from a lot of people.
And that those hours will be extended through April 30th, I think you said?
Correct. Yeah. And then next year it'll be November 1st. We just had to wait to make sure the funding was secured for this year. That's why we didn't start till December.
Okay, great. And you have a big event that's coming up, I understand?
We do. The mayor has declared Saturday, December 8th as Homeless Awareness Day. And we're going to be offering two events to bookend the day. So in the morning, we're hosting the Mission to Hope Walk, which is a walk from Catholic Charities on Linden Center Drive to the Murphy Center. It's just 0.8 miles, but it's significant because it's symbolic of a walk the people we serve take every day, often multiple times a day in all sorts of weather, including people who have disabilities. So we're going to do that as a community. We're hoping we'll see about 300 people or more come out. And then at the end of the day, we're offering a community dinner. It's going to be at First Presbyterian Church at College in Mulberry. And that will host people that are stably housed and also people that aren't. So it's an opportunity to sit down and have a meal with someone that you might not normally get to talk to.
And where can listeners, if they're interested, where can they get tickets or find out more information about those two events?
So to find out information about the events, they can go to the Murphy Center website, which is murphycenter.org/events. If they scroll down, they'll also see ticket information, but they'll also see additional community opportunities, activities that are happening that day. For instance, Homeward 2020 is going to be hosting a showing of a movie called
Leave No Trace.
And there's some local businesses that are hosting like competitive sock drives and things like that. So we would encourage people to check out that site.
And also on the website, does that include information about other donations that folks might make at other times of the year, either at this time of the year or throughout the year, needs that different agencies might have?
Yes. If you go to the murphycenter.org website or homewardalliance.org and click on how to help, there's a comprehensive list of all the things we collect. We don't collect regular clothing, so it's helpful to check that list before you gather your donations. But we also we have a particular need for backpacks, winter coats sized large and up, and also mittens and gloves.
Okay. Things that folks might need if they are out of doors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we'll also mention that folks can find information, as you said, homewardalliance.org, but also on your Facebook account, which is at Homeward Alliance, and on Instagram at Homeward_Alliance. I understand you probably put some photos up on there and
we do.
Other information.
Absolutely.
And if you're not a computer person, we might have some listeners that aren't, you can always walk into the Murphy Center, and that's at 242 Conifer Street near the corner with Blue Spruce Drive, or you can call 970-494-9940. And as we said, the hours at the center now are 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. And that's all the time we have for this evening. Thank you to David and Pam for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to The Community at Work. Critter Patter is up next here on KRFC 88.9 FM Fort Collins, where we entertain, inspire, and inform Northern Colorado's community radio. Have a great night.
Did that get us...